Good mornings. Where I come from, we say jambo. And you answer jambo sana. So I will say jambo and you answer jambo sana. Jambo. Very good. Now, you know, I have always, once in a while, I wonder what language we will speak when we go to heaven. And I tend to think we may end up speaking Swahili. So I endeavor to teach a few Swahili words so that when you get there, you will be comfortable if Swahili is the language. So jambo. Okay. Then somebody say, hakuna matata. Hakuna matata. No worries, no problem. No worries, no problem. That's where I come from. I normally say, I come from the land of Hakuna Matata. And I want to appreciate very much Pastor Rich and Judy for opening up this door for me to stand on your pulpit. I thank you very much. And I bless the Lord for the opportunity. I want to thank Bishop Kioi, or Pastor Kioi, for opening up the door for me to come to Harrisburg. Because Jesus said, if someone, he who does not come in by the door is a thief and a robber. So I came in through this door. And I'm so comfortable. I also want to say thank you so much to the Lord for bringing me here on a missions Sunday. So that you can be able to know what your money does when you give it out for missions. One of the persons who greatly impacted my life was an Assemblies of God missionary in my city in Nakuru, Kenya. He was an elderly man by the name of Wayne Tanner. Wayne Tanner, he's already gone to be with the Lord, but he greatly impacted my life when I was still a school teacher. And I pray that you will take it seriously, that you will know that your money does not get lost. And when you see Pastor Kioi here, you know he is a product of the missionaries that were sent out. And he has come back to say to the people who sent missionaries out that the seed that was planted by the missionaries is an incorruptible seed. Yes. It did not rot. It will work. Yes. And it is working. I also want to say I never ever knew, never ever thought that I had an accent until I came to this country. And I always thought I spoke the Queen's English. But when I came to this country, I learned that I had an accent. I have no idea where I picked it up. I must have been somewhere on the Atlantic Ocean, crossing the ocean, where you pick the accent. Because I also realized that when the Americans come to Kenya, they have an accent. So it must be hanging somewhere above the Atlantic Ocean. Having known that, I purpose that when I go to a place where I have not been, I will speak a little bit, just spend a few minutes speaking one or two things, teaching some Swahili phrases, so that you can adjust your ears to my Kenyan accent. I try the best I can to adjust my ears to the American accent, but I still miss words. Yeah. I still miss words. But I also discovered as a preacher or as a pastor that what I say is not important. What is important is what you hear. Because faith comes by hearing. So I may be saying something and you hear something else. It is not because you are not hearing well. It's because God wants you to hear what you are hearing so that your faith is built up. And when your faith is built up, then you receive from God. So and how I learned that. Back at home, I have been on national television for the last 25 years, every Sunday morning. And when I started off, I didn't have the equipment, so I used to rent the equipment. These guys would come from Nairobi to our city, and they would set up the equipment. Sunday morning, they would tell me, okay, you are on. My wife would sit right there in front, and she had the placards, and she said, 20 minutes gone. 30 minutes gone. Not 30. You say 20 minutes gone, 25, 3 minutes to go. Then another one, finish now. And I would have to finish. So on this particular day, I would stand before the people, face the camera, smile, and say, this is the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. And everybody would clap their hands. That was my opening statement. On this particular Sunday, I am standing there and I look at the camera. They tell me, you're on. I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Then I forgot what comes next. And I said very quickly, for you and I to be happy and to rejoice in it. Then the accuser of the brethren was sitting on my shoulders, saying to me, shame on you, Pastor Mark. How can you misquote a scripture? Shame on you, Pastor Mark. Are you going to finish this message? How can you misquote a scripture? And I would fighting and saying, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to preach. And at the same time, I was preaching. So there was a battle. How many of you know the battle is always here? The battle is always here. So I'm fighting, I'm preaching, and I'm hearing. And I finished. The following Sunday, the program went on air. In those days, I did not know that there was anything called editing. They would have cleaned it. But I didn't know. So the program went on air. I watched myself on national television misquoting a scripture. And the accuser of the brethren was right there saying, shame on you, Pastor Mark. How can you misquote a scripture on national television? And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. The following week, on Thursday, I received a letter. And the letter said, dear Pastor Mark, I want to thank you for your television program, and especially last Sunday's message, more so the very first words that you said. And this is how you said it. This is a day that the Lord has made for you and I to be happy and to rejoice in it. And then he said, as soon as you said those words, a weight that had been sitting on me was rolled away, and I gave my life to Jesus. Oh, man, that lifted me up. That made me know that what I say is not important, but what you hear is more important than what I say. Because you see, the way God works in a way that he lets us pray. When we pray, we are creating an avenue for God to operate here on earth. So when we pray, we are telling God, okay, you can pass through this route. You can operate here. You can work in my situation. You can intervene in my business. So when we pray, God puts a word to answer your prayers in the pastor. So the pastor will stand here and he will speak the word of God. And as he speaks the word of God, you hear according to your prayers. And when you hear according to your prayers, by the end of the service, you are feeling relieved. You are feeling, the weight is moved off. The frustration is gone. Sir, you may have been frustrated by a truck driver. You may have been frustrated by some place or your business, or you may have been frustrated in one way or another. But all of us, according to our prayers, the word of the Lord, the same word, it heals a headache. The same word brings in deliverance in a family. The same word brings salvation. The same word brings in encouragement. Why? Because God has heard your prayers. Now, I can say with confidence, boldly, that when I came, I did not expect to be here this morning. I did not expect to be here this morning. But God knew that I would be here because somebody has been praying And you have been asking God, God, how, when are you going to do this? Oh God, would you do this for me? And God decided to answer. And he said he will answer you with an accent. He will answer you with a Kenyan accent. So I came, and I just want to read the word of God briefly, and then hit the road. I'm going to read from the book of Luke, chapter number 1. In the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 26, it says, and in the sixth, I'm reading from the Old King James, you'll excuse me. You can read from other translations, but I'll be reading from the Old King James. And the angel of, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God and to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive. Somebody say conceive.
Conceive.
Please. Put some volume. Conceive.
Conceive.
Okay. You shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, I move forward a little bit to verse number 38, and it says, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. Now, is it okay if I just be me?
Yes.
Can I just be me?
But
I don't know if it's going to interrupt with the camera, but you see, I like being close. I like being close because I value the eye contact, so we can be able to capture the word of God. You see, we have read that the angel Gabriel was sent from God or by God, and she was sent to a specific place and to a specific person. What does that tell me? That tells me that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, knows me by name. He knows you by name. Maybe your neighbor does not know you. Maybe those you work with do not know your name. But Jehovah knows you by name. That is enough revelation to make you square up your shoulders, lift up your head, and walk tall. I am known. Jehovah knows my name. What was that song they sang? He knows my name. He knows I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. God knows my name. Ah. He knows my name. If he knows my name, he knows what I am going through. He is aware of the desires of my heart. Therefore, I shall not be afraid. So the angel is sent to Mary, and he is sent with a message. And he is told, you go to a certain city. That means God knows your city. God knows Harrisburg. God knows your village. God knows your address. He knows where you are. And because he knows where you are, you can rely on him. In fact, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9, he tells them, God is faithful. God is faithful. What does that mean? He is trustworthy. He is reliable. He is dependable. You can depend on this God. You can rely on this God. You can trust our God because he is dependable and reliable. So the angel is sent. Now, and you know, according to the scriptures, angels are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And he is a servant, is a messenger. A messenger is a servant. A messenger does not have a message of his own. They carry the message of their master. And the angel is carrying the word of God. And the word of God, number one, is alive. Number two, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is, and number three, it will pierce and penetrate through any situation. Any situation. So I pray that as you receive the word this morning, it may penetrate through your situation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. So he sent to this girl, and this girl is busy. She is busy doing her chores. And as she does her chores, the angel comes and says, "Hi, Mary. You are highly favored. You are blessed amongst women. You are highly favored." Huh? This girl is engaged to Joe. And they are planning their wedding. We are not told when their wedding is going to be, but I am assuming it's going to be next year. So she is busy helping the mother with the chores or working outside. You know, when angels come, we have the thought that the angel will come with wings and in white apparel and will fly in and flap the wings and say, "I am an angel." But when you look at it, Mary was not surprised at his size, at his stature. She was surprised at what he said. That means he must have appeared like a normal human being. Let me tell you, my friends, that when the angel comes, the angel can come in and speak with an accent. The angel can come and just speak in a language that you are asking, "Where is this one from? Where is this one from?" But the angel is a carrier of the message of God. Because a servant does not have power of their own. They have no authority of their own. They have no message of their own. They carry the message of the sender, the one who sent them. So Gabriel is carrying the word of God. And the word of God is creative. The word of God is creative. If you got the word of God and you took it to the lab and you dissected, dissect or bisect? By. You bisect it, you cut it. Dissect. You know, English is my third language. So I don't know a lot of it. If you cut it and you put it under a microscope. You put it under a microscope and you look at it, you will see creativity in it. That the word of God is creative. Because God said, you read in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3, and God said, verse number 6, and God said, verse number 9, and God said, verse number 11, and God said, verse number 14, and God said, verse number 19, and God said, verse number 24, and God said, 26, and God said, 29, and God said, then that one, God looked, and he saw, it was very good. It was very good. So the word of God is creative. So when you look at it, when you receive the word, you receive that creativity. So this is what Gabriel, the angel, is bringing to Mary. And he tells Mary, "Mary, you are highly favored." You know, when the favor of God is upon you, when the favor of God is upon you, there is no power that can remove that favor. I pray that there shall be a manifestation of the favor of God upon your life. That you shall know you are highly favored by God. Because when God favors you, there is nobody who can appeal against that. They cannot vote for or against, because it is God's decision. So Mary, the angel tells Mary, you are highly favored among women. And you know what, Mary? You are going to conceive. You're going to conceive. And you are going to have a son. And his name is going to be Jesus. Mary is just listening. And he's told of what Jesus is going to do. She is told. And she doesn't understand. So Mary is not like Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. The angel found Zechariah in the temple burning incense. Zechariah was a priest. He understood the traditions. He knew at that time there can only be one person in the temple. There cannot be two. And he was the priest on duty. But when the angel came and told him, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Your wife Elizabeth is going to conceive and have a baby. Zechariah does not understand. And this guy has been praying for a long time. So this is Mark Kariuki paraphrasing. So he says, have you seen that old lady of late? She's a gone case. And for me, I am even worse. So how can this thing be? And the angel had never had anybody question the word of God. So he immediately takes action and tells Zechariah, shut up, zip, whoop. And the guy was super glued. Zechariah is super glued. He can't talk again. Until the word of God, which was spoken, is fulfilled. You know, there are some mouths that need to be super glued. There are some mouths that need to be super glued. Especially if always he's talking about against the word. What the word cannot do. I think it needs to be super glued. But anyway, let's move a little bit faster. Then, when Zechariah has got to wait until the day that word will be fulfilled, when John is born, and they ask Elizabeth, what are we going to call her? And she says, John. And they say, no, you don't have anybody in your family by that name. And they ask Zechariah, what name do you give the kid? And he says, give me a pen and a pencil. And he writes down John. The moment he wrote the word John, which he was told by the angel, his mouth opens up. Because he has agreed with the word. He has agreed with the word. Now, the same angel, a few months later, is sent to Mary. And Mary says, I may not understand what you are talking about. Because you see, I am engaged to Brother Joe. And our wedding is next year. And I don't want to take corners. I want to wait until I am married. What are you talking about? And the angel says, no, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. This young girl has never heard about the Holy Spirit. And she doesn't sit there and say, who is the Holy Spirit? How is it going to happen? What am I going to do? Nuh-uh. But she says in verse number 38, let it be to me according to your word. This is the way we respond to the word. When you hear the word of God, you don't get into argument about the word. Many times we want to go and find out what is the Greek meaning, what is the Hebrew meaning. All that is good. But before you go to the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic, what you need to do is to say, let it be to me according to the word. Because our God does not change. He remains God. He remains Jehovah. And the Bible says she conceived. So I want to say to somebody to this morning, may you conceive in the womb of your spirit. May you conceive new ideas. You know, many times we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then we come and say, give us this day our daily bread. And we think we are asking for fried chicken. God is not going to give us catfish. He's not going to give us spaghetti for dinner. God will give you an idea and give you the wisdom to implement that idea. When you implement that idea, you conceive it in your womb and you shall bring forth. God has been speaking to people here. God has been speaking to you. He has given you ideas, but nothing seems to be happening. Fear not. Fear not. Don't worry. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Because our God is the miracle working God. He is the God who never changes. Even if you have never seen a miracle, you have never seen a miracle, that does not mean that God has changed. He is still working miracles. Because his word is creative. Let me give you a story, a testimony. We were gathering together back at home. We were seven couples. And these seven couples, we used to gather fortnightly in different homes and we would have fellowship. Amongst us, there was a couple that was married for 5 years and they didn't have a baby. They were married for 5 years, they didn't have a baby. And in our place and in our days, what we wanted to see 9 months and 30 minutes after the wedding was a baby. 9 minutes, 9 months and 30 minutes after the wedding, what we want to see is a baby. These ones have been married for 5 years without a baby. And we are talking about the God who never changes. We are talking about the God of Abraham. The God who keeps his promise. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. He is dependable. And this couple said, we have been married for 9 years. And we, for 5 years. 5 years. And we do not have a baby. We want a baby. We told them, kneel down. We laid our hands on them. We prayed a simple prayer. Father, open every pipe that needs to be opened for this couple to have a baby. In Jesus' name. Amen. We told them, go home. And they went home. After some time, we noticed that the lady was becoming healthy. Very healthy. And healthier and healthier and healthier. Even her way of walking, her way of walking changed. She used to walk in high heels. Now she had flat shoes. She was walking with majesty. She was walking with majesty. Even her food changed. And then after 9 months, she was too healthy to stay at home. So she was taken to Annex Hospital in Nakuru, in my city where I come from, so she could bring forth a child. She went there, the doctor checked on her, and they said, the baby has not turned towards the birth canal. So you walk around and you go up the stairs and down the stairs so that the baby can turn. So she's walking there. Then they check on her in the evening, no progress. Keep walking. They check her in the morning, no progress. They check on her the following day, no progress. She was in the land of no progress for 2 weeks. I could pause there and say to you, maybe you are in the land of no progress. Your business is in the land of no progress. Your health is in the land of no progress. There is no change. You are just in that situation. This lady was there for 2 weeks. Somebody told my wife that this lady is in the hospital and she has not gotten a baby. And I was mad at the devil. Said, devil, you are a liar. So I got into my car, picked my wife from her office. We went to the hospital and we found this lady walking around. We said, can we go to your room? We went to her room and I asked her, tell me, mama, are 9 months over? And she said, yes, pastor, and 2 weeks on top. I told her, according to the laws of God, a baby is to stay in the mother's womb for 9 months. After 9 months, the baby should be born. So I have come to speak to this baby and welcome the baby to Kenya in the name of Jesus Christ. I told her, the Bible says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, somebody say anything. Anything, anything includes your situation. Anything includes your business. Anything includes your children. Anything. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. Do you agree? She said yes. So I said, okay, we join our hands. Remember, we're in the hospital. So we joined our hands, and I started praying. Now, you do not know me, but me, I was born a Presbyterian. I was brought up a Presbyterian. So for Presbyterians, we pray calm. We don't shout. But then when I got born again, I went to college. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I started speaking in tongues, and I started shouting. So I started praying like a Presbyterian. And I was saying, oh God, we thank you for this baby. Oh God, we thank you. And as I prayed, my voice kept on rising. I didn't know my voice was rising, but it kept on rising. And now we are holding hands there. And I'm saying, oh God, when we come tomorrow, we want to see the mother and the baby safe in the name of Jesus. I'm whispering, oh God, open every gate, open every passage that needs to be opened for the baby to be born in the name of Jesus. Now, the nurses they were in their office. They decided to come and find out who is this idiot making noise in the hospital. So they came to the room and they peeped. When they peeped, they saw us holding hands. They heard what I was saying. When we finished our prayer, they went back to their room. So we did not know that they were peeping, that they had heard. But they went back to their room. Then the husband to this lady came. When the husband came, this lady told the husband, you go home. In our bedroom, in the second drawer, there is a parcel that is there. Please bring it tomorrow. Those are clothes for the baby because the baby is coming tomorrow. The husband asked her, what did the doctor say? And she said, don't worry about what the doctor said. Bring me the clothes. The baby is coming tomorrow. How are you feeling? Don't worry how I am feeling. Bring me the clothes. The baby is coming tomorrow. You know, the Bible says that the word that was preached to them is the same word that was preached to us, but it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. This lady mixed the word with faith. When she mixed the word with faith, we left. The following day at 8:30, the phone in my house rang. I picked the phone and there was a man on the other end, and he said, Pastor, praise the Lord. I said, Amen. Pastor, praise the Lord. I said, Amen. Pastor, praise the Lord. And I'm wondering, who is this? I'm wondering, who is this? I said, Brother. And he said, Pastor, the baby has come. The baby has come. Now, I don't know about Americans, but Kenyan men don't know how to be excited about a fast baby because they see the responsibility. They're wondering, what am I supposed to do? So this man, all he could say is, Pastor, praise the Lord. Pastor, praise the Lord. So he told me, the baby has come. The baby came this morning. When he went in the morning to take the clothes, the baby had arrived in Kenya. So at 1 o'clock, I picked my wife and we went to the hospital so that we could welcome the baby to Kenya. And we found the mother and the baby. The baby is wrapped there and they are having a good time. So I asked Mama, tell us what happened. And this is what she told me. She told me, Bishop or Pastor, when you prayed, I did not feel anything, but I knew the baby is coming tomorrow. When I went to bed, I was not feeling anything, but I knew the baby is coming tomorrow. At midnight, I was not feeling anything, but I knew the baby is coming tomorrow. At 4:30, The baby started knocking and saying, I want to come to Kenya. So I pressed the bell to call the nurses. So the nurses came into my room. By the time they were coming into my room, the baby is also arriving in Kenya. They picked the baby, they went and cleaned the baby, they brought the baby back. Then they told me, the nurses told this lady, we now believe that you are God, hears and answers prayers. Because when that man was praying, we heard him making noise. And we came and we peeped and we saw you holding hands. But now we believe. I want to say to you, our God hears and answers prayers. He hears and answers prayers. He tells Jeremiah, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there is none. There is nothing that is too hard for God. I want to say to you, my friend, there is nothing that is too hard for God. What is your situation? What is that that has been holding you? What is that has been giving you sleepless nights? It's not too hard for God. For with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Mary just said, let it be unto me according to your word. Whether I understand or I don't understand, let it be to me according to your word. Because the word of God will never, ever go back to him void. It will accomplish that which it was sent for. And for God to bring me here today, it's because somebody has been praying. Yes. Somebody has been praying. And I came to say to you, your prayers have been answered. God has heard your prayer. I don't know what you have been praying about. I don't know what has been the desire of your heart. But I came to say to you, your prayers have been answered. Now my question is this. Are you going to be Zechariah or are you going to be like Mary? I pray that we shall find Marys here who will say, I didn't understand what that Kenyan was saying, but anyway, let it be to me according to the word of the Lord. I couldn't pick his accent. He was speaking too quiet, too fast, or he was too slow. But whatever the case, let it be unto me according to the word of the Lord. Because it is the word of God that fulfills. It is the word of God that creates. And the word of God in your mouth is as powerful as when it comes from the mouth of God. I pray that this day would mark a new beginning in your situation, in your life. That this word would work for you. That today would be a beacon in your life that you would look back to and say, when that Kenyan came and he said he had an accent, I conceived a business idea. I conceived an idea. And this idea has been multiplying and growing in me. That one day, you will remember this day. In the name of Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father and our God, I have done what you sent me to do in this sanctuary. I have given your word. Lord, your word comes to answer our prayers. I pray that you would see, put the seal of the Holy Spirit upon the life of every individual who has heard this word, both in this sanctuary and in the social media. Lord, let this word have effect. Yes. As your servant, I stand and declare that your promises are a yea and amen, yes. And they shall be accomplished in the lives of your people. Take over, Lord, and take control. Glorify yourself, Jehovah, in the lives of these people. May your will be manifested in their lives. Bless this congregation. Lord, bless them as they go out and as they come in. Cause them to be witnesses of your saving power. Cause them to be witnesses of your healing power. Cause them to be witnesses of your miracle working power. And that, Lord, and that they shall not be ashamed of it. They shall declare it with boldness. And there shall be growth and multiplication in this church. Because we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. May the Lord lift you up. May the Lord fulfill his purposes in your life. May you see transformation. May you see change. May you thrive in whatever you do. May your businesses thrive. May your business prosper. May you prosper in health. May you prosper in health, even as you prosper otherwise. Because I ask in Jesus' name, thank you so much, Pastor. I am done. I have finished what I came to do. Now I can go home.